Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the age-old question asked by Pilate in John 18:38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And described by Jesus, truth was what he came to teach us. In this show, we will discuss truth as a state of being that transcends the capacity of the corporeal senses. Listen as we explain truth as the connection found in the thought unity between divine mind and the real man. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth. Swami, the title of today's show is Truth With or Without Thought. So I think maybe we could take a few minutes just to unbox the title.
Yeah, this actually came about from a website. I was asked a question. It really kind of stuck with me because in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The question we're asking is, can there be truth and thought at the same time? And to really get into this, we're going to have to start to understand, well, what is thought and what is truth? Because these are the issues that need to be addressed. To look at thought, what I started to do was I looked at 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, Mary Baker Eddy, in a paper that she called The Body, she says, our sufficiency to think is of God. Our ability to form thoughts and opinions is of our own ignorance, our belief in duality. But our power or sufficiency to think is when we think with God as God. And so this whole thing of with and without thought, and the Bible also saying to take no thought for thine own self. And the more I meditate on it, the more I understand that we have to understand the difference between our mortal modes of thinking and the function of the divine mind, because we really have to understand that when it says without thought, they're really talking about thinking with God as God, letting divine mind take over the scientific government of our being. And that's a very different dynamic, because most of us are still working with the mind that is working on corporeal sense, and we have to graduate from that.
I think this could be a little confusing for a lot of us. Like, what is thought, and is thought different from mind, and how does this all relate to the truth? So I think those three words, thought, mind, and truth, I think need maybe a little deeper explanation.
Okay, so the way that I've done it is you have to understand mind with a capital M and truth is really making reference to the divine creation, this spiritual fact of being, the oneness of all. Truth is absolute. And what we're calling thought and mind with a small m works on contrast. It works on duality. It comes out of a belief in two powers, what they called a divided mind or divided consciousness. And so in this practice here, we're trying to do what Mary Baker Eddy did, or at least what I got out of her teaching, is making a distinction between thoughts and ideas. Because mortal mind works on contrast. We're working then with human conjecture. It's not the truth, because the truth is whole, it's complete, it's the full picture. And so as we move from a sense of material understanding of ourselves into the realms of a mental understanding of ourselves, and then eventually into this spiritual truth of being, in truth, reality is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. There's only one divine life, right here, right now, and it's running a perfect universe. And what we're calling life, like the Bible says, isn't life at all. We're in this false sense of existence, and what's operating this false sense is our belief in it. And so we have to start to make a distinction between spiritual sense and corporeal sense. What is reporting in our five sense mind and what this divine creation is doing on a spiritual level. The concept here of thought or no thought or without thought becomes a pivotal point. In a lot of the metaphysical and mystical systems out there that I expose myself to throughout the years, a lot of times they talk about stopping thinking. And that was something that I always found to be very difficult. But if you work with it and you start to understand it, what they mean by stop thinking, they're really saying that you really want to rise above corporeal sense. You want to make your mind an avenue of awareness for this unified state, this spiritual fact, which is whole, it's complete, and it's fulfilled. So there's no contrast in spirit. There's no contrast in truth. We're looking for something that doesn't stimulate our five senses. We're looking for what's invisible and intangible. As you start to work at this level and you start to live and move and have your being in this invisible, intangible omnipresence, then it starts to reveal itself to you. When we shut off our corporeal senses, our spiritual senses start to activate. And what was before seeming like nothing turns out to be the revelation of the divine creation, the perfection of being.
You had mentioned the word idea before. So the divine idea, is that saying the same thing as divine mind?
Well, I think the idea is the workings of divine mind, just like mortal mind and thoughts. We have thoughts about what is happening on a corporeal sense level. Well, divine mind doesn't think in terms of the rational and the finite. It thinks in terms of the absolute and the infinite. So it's just a different format. Kind of reminds me of years ago when you couldn't open a PDF file in Word. That if you had a PDF file and you tried to open it in Word, it wouldn't work. And the same is true with the divine creation, which is right here, right now, but it doesn't report in the mind that we have accepted to get us through this lifetime. So now we have to upgrade. But if you don't know that it's there, and you also don't understand what it's going to look like when you're doing it, it's a pretty tough catch.
I'm curious to know, you had mentioned the question that was asked of you about the truth with or without thought. Curious to know what your response was.
I said the mortal mind works on contrast. Remember, the physical is visible and tangible, but mental is invisible and tangible. Both are contrast. When the mind becomes an avenue of awareness for spirit, truth, God, life, etc., which is invisible and intangible, there's no signal, only awareness of the nothing called no thought. This creates the opportunity to shift to spiritual sense, which sees only the divine creation. Here we watch and wait.
So when you said that there's the only awareness of the nothing called no thought, when we have this connection, there shouldn't be any interference. There is this silence and stillness.
The other thing is that we have to have awareness for the presence of spirit, that it becomes very tricky. You don't just want the absence of sound. In divine science, we're always trying to rebuke the testimony of the five senses. But at the same time, you always, on a very positive side, you want to affirm the truth. All we're trying to recognize is the allness of this divine creation, that the concept of God is everywhere and in everything. And it's all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, everywhere. But it doesn't report in our five senses. So the absence of noise may not necessarily include the affirming of this invisible, intangible omnipotence. And we have to have that in the equation.
So I have a question about that, digging deeper. So how do we not react to those five modal senses when we're trying to find this sense of stillness and silence?
Yeah, we first have to unmask them by understanding them to be illusion, unreal. And a good practice you can get from Mary Baker Eddy is don't fear, love, or hate anything reporting in your five senses. And then we take the five corporeal senses and we hold our attention on spirit, the invisible, intangible omnipresence. Corporeal sense works on contrast. Spirit is whole, therefore there's no signal. In this silence and stillness, we watch and wait until the birth of the Christ. Now, Christ is what makes the divine creation intelligible to human consciousness. Jesus referred to this as feeding my sheep, feeding the spiritual senses, at the same time starving the material senses. And as identity shifts from material to mental, which is dualistic, also called the two thieves on the cross, matter and mind, and then it finally graduates to spiritual, the truth. With practice, divine mind does the work. As Mary Baker Eddy explained in Science and Health, it resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Truth corrects our thought and then outpictures the divine image, which is perfect and whole and complete.
So we've talked in the past about that word impersonalization. Does that also mean no thought?
Yeah, I think so, because, and I'm getting this from Mary Baker Eddy, there was a book that was written about her. In this book, they have a letter that she wrote to Lyda Stone, and I'll quote her as saying, "What our cause needs most is the impersonalization of thought. I see little, if any, growth in this direction. To destroy any effect, we must remove its cause. The first error was limiting mind, or personality, which was supposed to contain mind. Now, to love or hate or fear or believe in this finity of mind called mortal personality is to preserve the cause of all error. No person can grow in Christian Science until they have grown out of attaching themselves to personality, either through fear, love, or hate." Here, she's really laying it out for us. To really understand what she's talking about, I think it's very important to understand what we're saying, the difference between thoughts and ideas. That this impersonalization of thought really means that we forsake our modes of mortal thinking and then upgrade it to divine knowing.
Well, I think we'll pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya
Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'm hoping we can talk a little bit more about truth with or without thought, and what does that look like?
Yeah, I think we have to start to understand that truth, or the message of the Christ, is basically the allness of the divine creation, this divine omnipotence, this divine omnipresence is absolute goodness. That's the truth of being. We can either have a direct relationship with that truth, or we can think we have a relationship with that truth. And thought becomes the veil that prevents us from this direct connection with this truth. And the reason is, thought works on duality. Thought operates on a belief in two powers, and it creates an interference pattern with this one divine life. And you can't have truth and ignorance in the same environment, because truth will dispel this false belief or this false understanding or this limited perspective that we have of what's really here. And so we start to understand that mortal mind, or this aspect of mind that is directly related to corporeal senses, doesn't perceive this truth. Just to go with it a little bit further, let's look at John 14, 6 to 18, where it's written in the Bible, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Here, the comforter to me is that Spirit of truth, that there is but one life and it's eternal. Once you come to that realization, when that dawns on you that you are the expression of an indestructible principle, that's what they called perfect love. That's what casts out the fear. And fear is nothing more than a defense mechanism for this false sense that we are a mortal, finite, corporeal being. The more that we start to unbox these scriptures and we start to understand the message of the Christ, and you start to employ it, you see that it works, that it becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. But we have to come out of these modes of mortal thought, because you can't have truth with thought. And if you're working at the level of thought, then it's not going to be the one true truth that they're talking about. It's just going to be your human imagination or your mortal concept of this truth, and it won't have the same unction. It won't have the power of when you are in divine mind. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 167. She says, the scientific government of the body must be attained through divine mind. We have to graduate from mortal mind to divine mind. We have to know the difference between thinking and divine knowing. We have to know the difference between thoughts, which have their origins in duality and a belief in two powers, which is what we had said earlier. Forming thoughts and opinions is of our own ignorance, our belief in duality. But our power or sufficiency to think is when we think with God as God. So when the scientific government of our body is attained through the awareness of divine mind, but we can only get that through the Christ, which is what's going to make the divine creation intelligible to us. And we'll experience that as the cultivation of our spiritual senses. But we'll start to live out from a level of consciousness that is above corporeal sense. It won't negate what's happening on a sense level, but we'll just see it for what it really is, that it is just a reflection. It's a concept. It is not what we will say, quote unquote, real, because it's not the divine creation, which is real, which is eternal, unchanging.
So in that scripture that you read, the John 14:16-18, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So they're talking about this divine mind that resides in us. And then when it says, I will come to you, it means that Christ will come to you, but we have to be prepared and we have to, so to speak, ask and pray for it?
Yeah, we have to create a hospitable environment. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within, and I can't remember what page it is in Science and Health, but Mary Baker Eddy says when Jesus said that, he meant the child of God, not the mortal man. And so we have to really start to know ourselves as spirit. We have to graduate to spiritual identity. And that, like you say, is that's a lot of preparatory work that goes along with that, because you have to forsake these modes of mortal thinking and you have to put off the belief that you are this finite mortal creature with needs and wants and plans, instinct and appetite that is longing to preserve that which appears to be in form, becomes a huge veil. When we're operating at that level of consciousness, we're putting up a barrier to this truth of being. As we start to be still and know that I am God, which is what the Bible says, then you create that environment that will invite divine mind into your consciousness. But we can't be thinking and forming thoughts and having all of this mental activity, because it will create an interference pattern with what's called the Word of God. This divine creation that is pouring out its plan. But if we're still operating on a personal sense level, we're completely unconscious to that message.
Are you talking about what it means to live with God's will as opposed to our will?
Well, yeah, we have to give up our personal will. You can't have that interference with this divine creation. In fact, I really like what Herb Fitch sets up in the Fourth Dimension series that he has. I think it's Class 7A, where he really talks about overcoming seven barriers to the truth, the veil. And like you said, we have to impersonalize, or what he also says is crucify the lie. And in practice of doing this, we have to crucify time, space, form, matter, the movement of matter, human will, and this personal sense called ego. And all of this has to go before we can have access to this divine idea.
So do we have to be careful when we use the word I? Like, I am going to do this, or I want to do that, because that obviously would, to me, means that we are doing our will and not God's will.
Yeah, that becomes a very interesting word that we use and misuse. I want obscures I am, and I want can only be on a personal level, and I am must be on an impersonal, infinite, eternal, spiritual level. And again, spirit being fulfilled, whole, it's absolute, it's complete. And when we're using I on a personal level, we're denying the omnipresence of this subjective divine egoism, which is the eternal I now.
So, Swami, somebody says to you, well, Swami, I want to have a relationship with God. Their intentions might be just, but then how would you respond to that?
Well, again, I want always obscures I am. That you can't say that I want a relationship with God, because you're creating the barrier right then and there. In order for us to really catch the message of the Christ, we must assume spiritual identity. That's out of time, it's out of space, which means that I am the reflection of the divine. And once we declare that, then we must continue to affirm that to be the truth of our being. And corporeal sense will give you plenty of chances for you to strengthen that commitment that you're about to make. Every time that we say, I want, or I need, or we deny the perfection of being, then we're in the trap. We're out of the kingdom of heaven, and we believe that there is something other than the allness of this divine creation.
Well, Swami, in the opening, we opened it up by talking about John 18:38, the question asked by Pilate, and it says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What would you like us to learn from that?
The truth is, God is all, and God is good, and anything that does not have those qualities is not of this divine creation. If God didn't create it, it's not self-existent, which means it's not real, and therefore it's not backed by divine law. And the only thing that is giving it the appearance of being real is our belief in it. And so we have to have fidelity to what is invisible and intangible until we cultivate our spiritual sense. Then that's where we live and move and have our being in the divine creation, which is eternal happiness.
Well, we have to start breaking down the show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, just click that on. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also, when you click on the Products tab and then Online Classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So, Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.